In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. And we always begin our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. We cry out to Mary in the Hail Holy Queen, as Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's ask Mary to be with us, to pray with us, and to pray for us as we enter into our Perseverance Family Conversation this morning. Let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and of course that is the Hail Mary together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director and ask our spiritual director, who is the Holy Spirit, to be with us. The Holy Spirit has many different names. He is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor as well as our consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler in the midst of our desolation. He comes to console us. And St. Paul reminds us that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a lot of light in our intellect, and the fire to burn within the very depths of our hearts. As we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How true it is, my friends, the immortal saying of Father Patrick Peyton, known as the Rosary Priest. The family that prays together stays together. So even though we might be distant and geographically, still we are united in the Spirit. We start off our prayer by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the mother of all of us. Then we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, known as the sweet guest of our soul. Then we invite God's angels to be with us. Saint Raphael, Saint Michael, Saint Gabriel. And we invite God's saints to be with us. So we are a family, united in the Blessed Trinity, Mary, the angels, and the saints. So today when I celebrate my Masses, I'll have two Masses today, I'd like to place you on the altar. That's right, I'd like to place you on the altar when they celebrate the Mass and offer these specific intentions for you and for your families. First of all, in our Perseverance family, I'd like to pray as I place you on the altar of the Mass, for the Mass, that all of us will strive to be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because our sanctification depends upon the working of the Holy Spirit in our souls. But it's up to us to be docile. And we might even pray this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention I'd like to pray for your families. Your families, especially, that they would be open to God, and your children who have maybe walked away from the church, that by placing them on the altar, that they will return. That they'll return. That your children, be they small teenagers or young adults, that they would recognize that true happiness, true authentic happiness, can only be encountered in our relationship with Christ. And they say in Spanish, el amigo que nunca falla, the friend that will never fail us. My third intention will be, I'd like to pray for our country, and especially the pro-life movement. I'd like to pray for those who are in favor of abortion, that they would be converted. That there would be peace in our country. That we would recognize the dignity of the human person. That from the moment of conception until natural death, life is sacred. As we read in the book of Job, chapter 1, naked I came forth from my mother's womb, naked I returned to the earth. The Lord gives, The Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. So, my friends, as we enter into our conversation today, I'd like to just introduce you to Catholic devotion, and then we'll enter into the readings for today. We move from the minor prophets to the prophet, one of the most famous prophets of the Old Testament, who is Isaiah. Today we have what's called the vocation of Isaiah, the call of Isaiah in the temple. Well, I'd like to share with you, in honor also of Mary, whose Saturday is the day in which we honor Mary in a special way, is I was reading a devotional book years ago, and it impressed me because the author said, every day of the week you can have a specific devotion dedicated to that day, and it really impressed me. The author said Sunday is the day of the Lord, the Lord's Day, which we can honor many things, but especially the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the rock foundation of our Catholic faith, that Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead. Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead. Then also celebrating every Sunday, celebrate the Blessed Trinity. That we truly believe that there's one God and three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The author said Monday can be dedicated to praying for the souls in purgatory. That's right. Praying for the souls in purgatory. It's a very, very salutary practice to pray for the souls in purgatory, that they be liberated from their sins. Tuesday, the author said to pray to the angels. You notice in our Perseverance family conversation, I always start off by praying to the angels, but I pray always to three angels, if you notice. I always pray to St. Michael the Archangel. I pray to St. Gabriel, and I pray also to St. Raphael. Those are three of the guardian angels that are mentioned in the Bible. And hopefully we'll cultivate a deeper devotion to Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael as our friends. Wednesday is a day in which we honor in a special way St. Joseph. Thanks be to God that we had a year of St. Joseph. But that doesn't mean that once we finish the year of St. Joseph, it's over, but rather we should cultivate devotion to St. Joseph everywhere. Thursday, we honor the Eucharist. And as we've been listening to the Gospel readings this week, Jesus says, the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. To beg the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to work in his vineyard. Friday, we call to mind the passion and death of Christ. Meditating upon the passion and death of Christ, Jesus said to St. Faustina, is worth more than an hour of meditation of passion is worth more than a year. Fasting and bread and water. How efficacious it is to meditate upon the passion of Christ because we recognize how much he suffered for love of you and for me. finally today, Saturday, is a day in which we dedicate time honoring Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just that you're aware of this, you're aware of this, but 1 week from today, which will be July 16th, is the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, in which we honor a special way the scapular. That will be a week from today, the very middle of July. July 16th, we celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So, my friends, I thought it would be opportune to start off our conversation by talking about Catholic devotions. All right, let's move now into the riches of the Word of God. Over the past couple of weeks, my friends, the first reading has been taken from the Old Testament, from the Minor Prophets. We meditated a week upon the prophet Amos, who was the prophet proclaiming the importance of social justice, of the importance of not taking advantage of the poor, the orphan, the widow, the weak, the vulnerable, but rather to defend the dignity of every human person. And that's why abortion is so horrendous, because abortion is killing the most innocent member in our society, and this little baby cannot defend himself. That's why even though we won Roe v. Wade, we still have a lot of work to do. We have to pray for those who are doing arson against churches as well as pregnancy centers throughout the country. Pregnancy centers throughout the world, especially our country. The last week we were meditating upon the prophet Hosea. It's almost as if he's presenting a love affair, presenting Yahweh or God as the husband in Israel, as the spouse, speaking about how often Israel, the spouse, has wandered off after false lovers. But Hosea invites Israel to return, because God is slow to anger, but he's rich in kindness and in mercy. So we finished, the church has finished reading and meditating upon the prophet Hosea, and we move now into the prophet Isaiah, from Hosea to Isaiah. And the church presents the vocation of Isaiah. Vocation or call. And I really invite all of you to try when you're reading through the Word of God to apply the Word of God to yourself. You can utilize, as a reminder, my five points for a biblical meditation. Read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, practical application. Those are five concrete steps in which you can carry out a biblical meditation. So let's go into the riches of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. So Isaiah is living in the time of the prophet, the King Uzziah. When King Uzziah dies, Isaiah is in the temple and he sees a vision of the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with a train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above, each of them had six wings. With two they veiled their faces, with two they veiled their feet, and with two they hovered aloft. So he had the vision in the temple of these angels. And it's interesting that the Bible mentions the seraphim. Sure, you've probably heard that there are choirs of angels. There's the angels, archangels, there's the virtues, the powers, dominions. And then you have the last group would be those of cherubim and seraphim. The highest choirs of angels would be the cherubim and the seraphim. So actually Isaiah is contemplating the highest realm of angels, the seraphim. So that both the cherubim and the seraphim are choirs of angels. And their purpose is specifically to praise God. And that's exactly what they do. Isaiah hears these words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." That calls to mind when we pray in the Mass, the Sanctus, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth is filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So at the sound of these angels, the frame of the door shook, and the whole church or house was filled with smoke. So Isaiah is contemplating this marvelous vision. Then Isaiah, he opens up his mouth and he talks to the Lord about the spiritual, moral condition in Israel. He says, I'm living amongst people with unclean lips. And he says, I also have unclean lips. But he says, my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. Upon saying this, one of the seraphim flew in front of Isaiah, and he had like, it was like a heart, it was like a burning charcoal or ember, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. Makes me think when I'm celebrating special masses, I have the altar servers that bring the incense pot, and they will have these burning charcoals. Sometimes they're red hot, and they place incense upon those charcoals, and the smoke ascends on high. But what this seraphim is going to do, I don't know if I would be ready for it, because he takes this burning ember and he touches the mouth of Isaiah. And he says, "See now that your wickedness is removed and your sin is purged." It's a wonderful passage because we see this great, great prophet of the Old Testament, his vision, and in front of the glory of God, Isaiah recognizes his sinfulness. And that's part of our spiritual life. As we get close to God, we recognize that we are sinners and we have to be converted. And the closer that we get to the light, the more we can see these splotches on our white shirt or our white dress. Now, what God did to Amos, taking him from the sycamore trees and tending his flock, what God did to Hosea, God is going to invite Isaiah to do the same thing. And that is, God wants to send a prophet to preach the word of God and repentance, the word of God and repentance to the people. There's a lack of prophets and preachers, so God wants to send someone to bring the people back to God so that they will walk away from their false god or their idols. And God actually says, now, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. In a certain sense, the vocation of Isaiah is our vocation. We are all invited to go into God's house, the church. By going into God's house, my friends, angels are present. St. John Chrysostom, who is one of the Eastern Fathers of the Church, says that surrounding the tabernacle, there are numbers of angels before the Blessed Sacrament. Before the Blessed Sacrament, adoring the Blessed Sacrament. So we are called like these angels to say, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Every time we participate in Mass, we unite with the angels to praise the triune God, saying, Sanctus, 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 Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Then Isaiah, recognizing he's living amongst sinners, and he is one of the sinners, feels that he's not worthy to preach the word of God to these sinful people. Woe to me, I'm living amidst people with impure lips, and I also have impure lips. The angel comes, he takes that burning amber, touches the lips of Isaiah, and his lips are purified. And now he says, God says, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged. How important it is for us to be going through a constant process of being purified of our sinfulness. That burning coal or ember for Isaiah, for us, is the blood of Christ applied through the sacrament of confession. That's right. And he says, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. Now stop and ask yourself. You're a follower of Christ. So you are a follower of Christ. How can you be a modern Isaiah? How can you bring the word of God to the whole world? Pray over that. What is the way in which God is challenging you to bring the word of God to the whole world? Bring that in prayer. And I'll just create three scenarios that you can maybe meditate upon. How can you bring the Word of God, number one, to your own family? Charity begins at home. How can you bring the Word of God, bring Christ more deeply into your own family? Second is, many of you work. How can you bring the Word of God into your work atmosphere? And the third would be, how can you bring the Word of God into your social milieu? Even after our conversation, you can actually send this conversation, which goes to my website on YouTube. You can send this to many of your friends. That's a way in which you can preach the Word of God. Maybe God has another way in which He's challenging you to bring the Word of God to others. Speak, O Lord. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. The responsorial psalm, my friends, is taken from Psalm 93. And the antiphon is, the Lord is King. The Lord is King. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is King, that means He wants to rule. How does the Lord want to rule? He wants to rule, first of all, over your person. That's right. Jesus is Lord of Lords and He's King of Kings and He wants to rule over your person. How can Jesus Christ rule over your person? Well, we want Him to rule over our memory, our understanding, our imagination, our affections, our emotions, our soul, our intentions, our body, our time, our treasure, our talents. All that we have, we want the Lord to rule over us. As they say in Spanish, que viva Cristo Rey. Que viva Cristo Rey, que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe. Which means, long live Christ the King, long live Our Lady of Guadalupe. So my friends, those are the riches we have in the first reading, which is taken from the prophet Isaiah. I think if you read through the call of Isaiah, God is going to speak to you very eloquently. It is the call of Isaiah, also known as the vocation of Isaiah. The call of Isaiah, also known as the vocation of Isaiah, his call. We all have these two calls. One call is the universal call to holiness, meaning that all of us are called to become saints. All of us are called to become saints. But then there's our specific call. You who have chosen the married life, your vocation is channeled through your spouse and your children. I actually have a double vocation. My double vocation is I have a vocation to the religious life as well as to the priesthood. Religious life is I've chosen to follow Christ in a religious community by embracing vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, as well as I'm a priest. By chastity means we give our heart to Christ totally as the ultimate source of our love. All of our affections, our desires, have to be directed to Christ. And we as oblates to the Virgin Mary, we draw close to Christ through Mary. And that's what oblation means. It means an offering, a gift that we give to Jesus through Mary. Poverty, we renounce material possessions so that we can have God as our greatest possession. Obedience, we offer our will, which we bear as superiors, we offer our will to God through the mediation of the superior that God has placed over us. So, my friends, the universal call to holiness and the specific vocation that we have chosen, be it single life, married life, religious life, priesthood, we all have to be faithful to the specific call that we've heard and we've said yes to. Let's move now into the Gospel. This week we've been going through the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus has been forming his disciples, preparing them to go out and to bring the good news to the whole world. Jesus gave the apostles instructions. His instructions were basically five. When you go out, preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Then Jesus says, go and cure the sick. Then Jesus says, raise the dead. Finally, Jesus says, go and cleanse lepers. Finally, Jesus says, go and cast out devils from your midst. Cast out devils from your midst. Those are the five concrete things that the Lord told his disciples when he sent them out two and two. And he also said how they have to travel, he gave them two basic instructions. Travel light. He said, don't carry any money in your wallets. Don't have more than one shirt. In other words, don't worry about material possessions. Travel lightly, because if you're loaded down, you won't be able to preach the Word of God fully, totally, unreservedly. Then Jesus says, go into a home that receives you, and if they receive you, they're your peace, and greet them with shalom, or peace. If there are people of peace, then their peace, God's peace, will descend upon them. And eat whatever is placed before you. Jesus says, the laborer deserves his keep. So in a certain sense, those are the marching orders of Christ. Those are his command, the marching orders of Christ. So now the Gospel, Jesus continues speaking to his apostles, and he says, no disciple is above his teacher. No slave is above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher. For the slave that he become like his master. And Jesus says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more those of his household? So Jesus is, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is, he is the master. He's the teacher. And we are his disciples. And he says that they call you Beelzebul, which is a name for the devil. So really what Jesus is saying here is that we as followers of Christ, we have to focus on Christ in our lives. St. Ignatius offers us this fruit. We have to beg for intimate knowledge of Christ, that we love him more ardently. We love him more ardently and we follow him more closely. This will come about, my friends, the more that we read and meditate and contemplate the Word of God, especially the Gospel, the more we'll become like Christ himself. And he speaks about, as we heard yesterday, persecutions. And I'll mention one right now, to be very honest and concrete with all of you. And I think we have to bring this in prayer. 2 weeks, 15 days ago, all of you know, 15 days ago, all of you know that the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade was overturned. And as was to be expected, the contrary forces that promote abortion, which is the killing of innocent babies, the contrary forces have unleashed violent opposition to that decision. And throughout the country, what's happened is arson and vandalism is happening in many places. In other words, this is a type of persecution. And our Lord mentions this in Matthew chapter 10, that we will be persecuted as he himself was persecuted. He himself was condemned. He himself was scourged. He himself had to carry the cross. Jesus himself was nailed to the cross. He was rejected. Well, we should accept the same to happen to us in one way or another. And especially two places, pregnancy centers helping women not to have the abortion. These pregnancy centers are being attacked, as well as Catholic churches are being attacked, as well as statues are being attacked. So there's a wave of violence that is descending upon those who lift up the banner of life. There is the standard of Satan and there is the standard of Christ. The two standards that many of you have meditated upon with me going through the spiritual exercise. There is the culture of death, and there's the gospel of life, as we read in the encyclical of Pope John Paul II, Evangelium Vitae. The culture of death. The culture of death and the gospel of life. The culture of death and the gospel of life. So the fact that those who are lifting up the banner of life are being attacked in these pregnancy centers as well as in Catholic churches, Jesus prophesied this 2,000 years ago. Jesus goes on to say in the gospel today, therefore, do not be afraid of them. Because this is kind of a scare tactic of these people. Do not be afraid of them. We should not be afraid, but rather we should have great trust in God. If God is with us, who can be against us? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. When I am weak, then I am strong. These are all biblical passages and verses where Jesus himself says, do not be afraid. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. Do not be afraid, Jesus says. He says that I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. And Jesus says, nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Be afraid of those who can kill both soul and body in Gehenna. Sure, most of you have probably heard the word Gehenna as you've been reading through the Gospels. But probably most of you don't really know what is this idea of Gehenna. Gehenna. What is Gehenna? Well, Gehenna was the public garbage dump. It was public garbage dump there on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And this public garbage dump, they would throw trash, offal, animal remains, and they would be feeding it constantly. So from this pit of Gehenna, were exuded, as you can imagine, bad smell, killing of animal remains, the carcasses of animals would have emitted a very ugly smell. But also there was smoke that would burn your eyes, and also the fire could be seen from far away. So when Jesus mentions Gehenna, for us who lived 2,000 years ago, many of us don't really know what that means. So Gehenna, Jesus used that as an image describing what hell is like. Describing what hell is like. So Jesus is very forthright today in the gospel. And he's saying, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. For example, earlier this week, as you remember, we celebrated a man who killed the body of a little girl. The name of this man was Alessandro Serinelli. He pulled out a knife and killed the body of Saint Maria Goretti. That's right. Even though he was instrumental in killing her body, her soul went to heaven to be with God for all eternity. So this message that Jesus is teaching us today related to the saint that I'm recounting right now is that we have to recognize that our body is very important because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But also our soul. We should always have proper priorities. Our soul is of greatest importance. The two worst things that can happen to us in our lives is committing the mortal sin. That's right, committing a mortal sin. But there's actually something worse than committing a mortal sin, because if we commit a mortal sin, there's always hope for forgiveness and reconciliation with God. God always has his arms open to receive us. But the worst thing would be, the book of Revelation or Apocalypse calls it the second death. Now the second death would be, the first death is mortal sin. The second death would be to die in mortal sin. So if we die in mortal sin, and that what Jesus says is we're lost. The one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna, that would be the enemy, the devil. The enemy, the devil. So Jesus goes on to say not to worry. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a small coin, yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Now Jesus goes on to say, even all the hairs on your head are counted. I don't think any of you know how many hairs you have on your head. You women have more than men usually. When was the last time you counted the hairs on your head? In another passage, Jesus says, knows when one of the hairs from your head actually falls to the ground. And Jesus says that we should not be ashamed. He says, whoever acknowledges me before others. Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But then Jesus says the contrary, but whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father. Jesus speaks very plainly, very clearly. He's very transparent. He's very honest. And he's saying without any vacillation or without any equivocation that if we're going to follow him, we should not be surprised if we experience in our lives some type of persecution. So on this Saturday, in the month of July, in which next Saturday we'll be celebrating Our Lady of Mount Carmel, in which Our Lady of Mount Carmel said that we should be wearing the scapular. So the wearing the scapular is the exterior sign of our consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let us, with humility, but courageously, let us all enter into the army of Jesus and Mary as we pray and say together the acclamation of the Cristeros, who lived about 100 years ago in Mexico. The Cristeros loved God more than their own lives. That's right. The Cristeros, they loved God more than their own lives. For that reason, these great Cristeros, Miguel Pro, Saint Cristobal Magallanes, Jose Luis Sanchez del Rios, they all proclaimed with one voice, Que viva Cristo Rey. Que viva Rey. Que viva Cristo Rey. Que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe. La Virgen de Zapopan. Que viva la Generala del Ejército. Mary, the General of the Army. So my friends, let us thank God that we have been enlisted to be valiant soldiers in the army of Jesus and Mary. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.